Today's Shin the Daf Yomi, as we get Baruch Hashem to the end of this beautiful Masechta of Erevin, is Erevin Daf Kuf Dalet. We begin about six lines from the top with the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues in telling us halachos that were different in the Beis HaMikdash area versus what we call Chutz LeMikdash or the Medina. So the Mishnah tells us, Bozkin Melach Agabi Kevish. You're allowed to go and chop up salt. Rashi explains, Mefazrin Mechasasin, you can spread it out and chop it up, a la kevish, to put it on the ramp, because the ramp was often slippery. Mimnei shecholoku, mistama, because there's blood on it sometimes, and also ukisha gishomim noflin alav, when it's rainy there, humachle, becomes very slippery. Boskin, Rashi says, is a lotion of kisus, of chopping up, and he gives sources from the Gemara and Yuma and Chagiga for such usage of this word. So the Mishnah is telling us in the Beis HaMikdash you'd be allowed to go do this boskin of the melach, putting the salt on the kevish, on the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach in the Azara. And the reason why you're allowed to do this is b'shul shelo yachliku, so you shouldn't slip, because it would be very slippery, again, from the rain, as Rashi says, possibly also from the blood. Or sometimes from karbanos that were put there, they could maybe have grease on them, oils, whatever, it's slippery. Again, Rashi seems to say the major reason is from the rain. But you're only allowed to do this in the Mikdash. You wouldn't be allowed to do this bowskin outside of the Mikdash. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, "Mamalin mi bor hagolo mi bor hagadol." You'd be allowed to go and fill up water from these two bores, from these two reservoirs of water that they had, these collections of water, known as the bor hagola and the bor hagadol. And you're allowed to do this. You can fill up water here, begalgal. Galgal means with some sort of a water wheel. And this is basically something which is like a winch, which allows you to go and pull up the water or lower the water into these bores, into these wells, and then go and get the water out of them. And you can do this with relative ease. It's some sort of a winch that allows you to bring up a large quantity of water at a time. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they allowed you to do this. It wasn't a concern that you're going to go and take extra water and go irrigate your field with it. So this you're allowed to do even on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. However, you wouldn't be allowed to do this outside the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara is going to say, Shema Yimale Leginoso Ulu, because we're concerned that you're going to go and take extra water because it's so easy. And you use the water for things that you're not allowed to use. And then there's an additional statement that the Mishnah tells us that they allowed you to go and draw up water with this galgal, or maybe er hakir biyom tov. You'd even be allowed to do this not in the Beis HaMikdash, but with this special ber hakir, you'd be allowed to do that on Yontif, which was a special leniency that the rabbis allowed specifically for this well, and the Gemara will explain why. So the Gemara starts and tells us, Rami le Rav Ika mi Pashrona le Rava. So Rav Ika, who came from the city known as Pashrona, said to Rava the following contradiction. We learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, Boskin Melach Agabi Akevish. You're allowed to go and chop up the salt, spread out the salt on the ramp in the outer Mizbeach. Bishul Shelo Yachliku, so you shouldn't slip. But that implies b'mikdash in b'medina lo, as I've already mentioned. This implies you're only allowed to do this in the Beis HaMikdash with the ramp of the Mizbeach, and you wouldn't be allowed to do this on a ramp that you have up to your house. But then it says in a b'raisa or a mini, it tells us that you are allowed to go and do something similar to boskin melech agabei hakevesh, because you're allowed to go and take your chotzer, which is niskalklosh, niskalkol b'mei megushamim. You have a courtyard which is filled with rainwater, and it has lots of puddles in it, and it's muddy. So what you're allowed to do on Shabbos is maybe tevin umiradiba. You can take some straw and spread it out over this area. And why is this any different than boskin melech agabei kevish? You don't want to slip over here, so you can take straw and spread it out. And the rabbis didn't say that that's forbidden. And yet, you are not allowed to do boskin melech, but you wouldn't be allowed to go and spread out the salt. So why is there a difference between tevin and salt? So Rava says, shiny tevin, the lo mevatole. You know why? Because the tevin, you're going to say, after I spread it out and it soaks up the water, or it makes it that I don't slip, so when I walk there, it's like having boards there and I don't slip on the mud. So I'm going to take this tevin and feed it to my animals. It's not going to waste. I'm not being mevatole there. Rashi says, there is no concern over here of ashvuye gumos, as we're going to see later on. When you do certain activities, the concern that you're going to want to have a nice smooth ground and you're going to fill in holes, or you're going to lower some mounds of earth, and that's called Ashvei Gumos. We had this many times already in the Masechta here as well as in Shabbos. And this Ashvei Gumos is a Malach on Shabbos. Daha Kibinyan. It is considered part of binyan, of building. The midi, the chazul, the maichel, behema, But here, this tevin either can still be used to feed to your animals, or you're going to use it to make bricks after Shabbos, and therefore it's not botel over here. However, avo melach, the salt, mishenidras berega, when you put the salt out and it gets trampled on and it absorbs water and it makes it not slippy, lo chazi, you can't use the salt, you're not putting it into your chicken soup, or mistama mevatule, and therefore you're permanently leaving it over here. Medina, this is in outside of the Beis HaMikdash, this is in Issa D'Rabbanan. It looks like building, it's not real building, but it looks enough like building that b'medina it should be asur. And that's the reason why the teven, which is not mevatel there, is allowed to be spread out even on Shabbos, but the salt is not, because the salt is going to be permanently left there, and it's looking like binyan, and that's why midrabanan it's not allowed. And even though in the Beis HaMikdash you're going to have a problem, as we'll see in the Gemara, if you were mevatel it there, you're not really mevatel it over there. You're going to get rid of it because of a chatzitza concern that we'll mention in a moment, but that's why in the Mikdash you're allowed to do it lechatchila, and you wouldn't be allowed to do the boskin outside the Beis HaMikdash because you could be mevatel it there. Now the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Elur Vashi, Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Elur Esra Vashi." The following, "Hai Melach Chichidomi." Exactly, how are you spreading out this salt? Idem avatle, if you in fact are being mavatled on the mizbeach, on the kevesh, so then kamosif abinyan, then you're adding on to the structure of the kevesh by adding the salt there and permanently leaving it there, you're changing the dimensions of the kevesh, albeit very slightly. And now the mashal deletes the next statement that we have over here in the parentheses, but it makes sense. So even though it was a later addition that was put in by some of the Talmidim, it is understandable, because it brings down that Hakol Bichsav Miyad Hashem Olai Yiskil, because when David HaMelech was told how to go and build the Beis HaMikdash, so he said everything has to be done with the Navi's instructions. You don't just get an architect and say this would look very nice. You have to go get it based upon the Navi's specifications. So the kevesh was a certain width, a certain length, a certain dimension. And therefore, when you add salt to it, you're adding on to the kevesh. So therefore, if you mevatel it, so then you have a problem of binyan. And if you're not mevatel it, if it's not subordinate to the kevesh and it's not part of the kevesh, so then there's a separate problem over here with the chatzitza. The kohanim aren't allowed to step on anything. If the kohanim stand on their feet, it's no good. The avod is no good. If the kohanim stand in shoes, it's no good. They have to be directly on the ritz, but on the floor, or the kevesh here functions as the floor of the mizbeach. So if they were to be bringing up the Evarim, the Pedarim, whatever it is that they're bringing up to put on top of the Mizbeach, and they're stepping on something that is a Chatzitza, so then their Avoda of bringing it up on top of the Mizbeach is going to have a Chatzitza, and it would be no good. So again, the question that Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Ava is asking to Rav Ashi is, Mimanushach, if you're telling me it's subordinate, you're mevatel it, and it's part of the Kevesh, then I have a problem with Binyan. And if you're telling me that it's not, then I have a problem with Chatzitza. So either way, I got a problem. So the Gemara answers, Mistama Rav Ashi answers, and says, "Beholachas evarim lakevesh de lav avodhi." Yeah, you're right. If you were doing an actual avoda, fine. But the bringing up of the evarim, of the limbs, let's say of an ola, that has to be burned totally, kalil toktar, on the top of the mizbeach, that's not an avoda, so there's no problem with chatzitza. Where it says, really? That's not an avoda? V'lo? V'hoksiv? It tells us beferish in the pasuk. V'hikri v'akohen esakol v'iktira mizbecha. A person has the obligation to go and bring all of the flesh of the ola, with the exception of the skin, and the k'tir ha-mizbeach, and you have to sacrifice it on top of the mizbeach. So therefore, you have an obligation to bring it up. V'amamar, and we explain this pasuk as zu holachas evarim lekevesh. This is the bringing up of the limbs of the ola on top of the kevesh. So therefore, up until the top of the mizbeach. So therefore, there is a chatzitza concern over here. Shmuel says, you're right, that's not the concern. El ema, beholachas eitzim l'marocha, when you're bringing up wood for the fires, that's not an avoda, the lav avoda, and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza in that situation. But obviously, you have to get rid of the salt at the other times, or else it would potentially be a chatzitza. Now the Gemara continues, Dorash Rava. Rava said the following drasha, Chotzer shenis kalkala b'meimei gishamim, if you have a courtyard that is ruined with rainwater, it's all muddy, maybe teven umiradaba, we had this previously, you're allowed to go and bring straw and spread it out. Mirad, the Rashi tells us, means shoteach ba, you spread it out. A shoteach is like a carpet or a mat, so you spread it out, and this way you will be able to use your courtyard, the rain won't ruin it. Amri Rapapa Rava. Rapapa asks, however, to Rava for Tanya, but the Brisa tells us, the following Brisa, Kishumarada, when you go and spread out this straw, you have to do it in a shinui way. Ain't no marada. You're not allowed to go take it with your hand and stick your hand into a basket. Lo basal. You can't put your hand in the basket and spread out the straw from there. Lo bakupa. You can't take a box or a chest and stick your hand in there and spread out the straw. Ella, the only way you're allowed to spread out the straw is with this shinui. Ella bishule kupa. You have to take it from the shule, is like the bottom part of the kupa. In other words, if it's going to be a chest or a box over here that's somewhat broken and it comes out through the bottom and not sticking your hand in and pulling it out through the top. So Rapapa says to Rava, how can you say, maybe Tevin Radu, you seem to suggest that you don't have to make any sort of a shinui. You can just stick your hand into a basket and take straw and disperse it. And here the Brisa, it says you clearly can't do that. So Rava, to his greatness, is not afraid to say, I made a mistake. And Hodor, he didn't just say I made a mistake. Hodor Okim Rava Amora. He got his maturgamin, the person who would say his shir publicly, and he made sure he got that person to do it for this retraction. So he established his Amora, he got his maturgamin there, and Hodor Okim Rava Amora Alei Vidorash, and he publicly gave a drasha, and he was not embarrassed to say, Dvarim Shamarti Lefnechem, that which I taught you in yesterday's shir, which I said previously in front of you, Toz Heim Biyodi. They were a mistake. That's the greatness here of Rava. He wasn't afraid to say, I made a mistake in the Shia. Biram, he says, this in fact is the halacha. Kachar mishum Rabbi Eliezer. This is the din said over the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Ukishimurade, when you are allowed to disperse and spread out the straw over here on this muddy courtyard, you have to do it in a shinui way. In a marada, lobisava lobakufa, you're not allowed to stick your hand into a basket or into a chest of some sort and just spread out the straw. Elabshule kupa, you take it from the bottom of a box. In other words, it has to be like a hole in the bottom of the box. It's broken at the bottom of the box and the straw comes out that way. That's allowed with the shinui, but you're not allowed to go and do it in the regular way. Then we said in the Mishnah, Mimalin mi bor hagola, you're allowed to go fill up water from this bor hagola, from this well, this pit known as the bor hagola, and also from the bor hagadol, and you're allowed to use a galgal, we said in the Mishnah. You're allowed to go use this winch, this pulley, where you're easily bringing up a large bucket of water or lowering a large bucket of water down there. So that's what we said in the Mishnah. And now we continue. And we say, Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. Ula once went to the house of Rav Menashe, and while he was there, I saw how Gavra Taraf Ababa. While he was there, a certain person came, and Taraf Ababa means he knocked on the door. Now, obviously, that made a sound, and this surprised Ula. Ula was surprised when he was at Rav Menashe's house that somebody would go knock on the door on Shabbos. Now, this is a whole sugya that we had at the end of the Gemara in Shabbos as to whether if you use a knocker on a door, so the Vilna Gaon and others say you're not allowed to use a knocker on a door because that's like a professional sound. That's like a proper way to make a sound on the door. But here he wasn't talking about using a knocker. Here he's talking about he just banged on the door. He knocked on the door. So all Ula said, oh my manai, who is this person that's being mechalu Shabbos publicly here? L'schalu gufei de kamechal le'ilashabsa. His guf should be desecrated because he desecrated the Shabbos. Rashi in Mori Kotten says, Yischal el gufo, that his guf should become desecrated. That's what Lischal gufi means. In other words, this person is doing a terrible thing. And Ula gave him a Misha Beirach. And he said, how dare he do something like this, that he's making sounds on Shabbos. He's not allowed to make sounds on Shabbos. So Rabbi told him to Ula, Lo asu ela kol shoshir. No, we don't pask in that way. We allow a person to make noise on Shabbos as long as it's not noise that's like a musical type of a noise, a song, a instrumental type of a noise. But if you're just making noise, that's not an Isra on Shabbos. That's what Rabbi told Ula. Abai didn't like this. Abai says to his Rebbe, Rabbi, Esri Abai, Abai says, Malin bidiyofi, on Shabbos, a person is allowed to go and use a diofi. A diofi is D-U-P, two mouths, and this is basically some sort of a structure for which you can go and siphon from one container to another container. As Rashi says, Malin Yayin Mechavis L'Chavis. This allows you to go and transfer the wine from one barrel to another barrel via Ayidei Shnei Karim, by two straws or two reeds, Chatuchim Balachson, that are in an angle to each other, Umaniach Roshin Hamishupoyim Zekinegze, and you place one of the heads of the straw, Nosin Echod Minakonim Bechovis, so they're angled next to each other, one you put into the Chovis, and with the other one, Umotzes Mepib Birosh Akona Acher, you suction up, you bring up the liquid from the first barrel by suctioning up through the second reed that connected, and this way the wine will go from the first barrel into the second barrel where you, after you finish suctioning, so it, you don't put it into your mouth, you don't swallow the wine, you go bring it into the second barrel. And once you start this suctioning process, it will continue to siphon from the first barrel to the second barrel. So Abaye brings down this price, which says you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, malim b'diyofi on Shabbos, umeitifin, now here's the part that we're concerned with, umeitifin mi'arak, that's the gersa that we have on the side, there are different gersa, some have me'adak, or others say min ha'adak, we'll see in a moment what this is, l'chol b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and take the liquid from this either arak or adak or min ha'adak, whatever it is exactly the name of this item is, on Shabbos for a sick person, l'chol in for a sick person only, l'bari lo, but not for a healthy person. Now, what exactly is the bringing of this water? So Rashi tells us that this is a kli, it's a utensil that holds water, u'pivtsar, it has a very narrow mouth, bishal matechasi, it's made out of metal, u'menukov b'tachtiso, nekovim nekovim dakin, and at the bottom there are very, very small holes, and because of water pressure, if the top is closed, you're not going to be able to go and have the water come out through these little holes at the bottom. So when you fill it up, mali mayim, v'sosiv piva elyo, and you seal off the top part, the chosman should piv sosim, because the top is closed, the pressure's inside, ein ha-mayim yotzim in a kovim ha-tachtonim. It doesn't allow the water to come out from the bottom holes. If you want the water to come out from the bottom holes, you have to remove the cork at the top, the seal at the top. Ushirotze, the water should come out from the bottom. No topakako. You need to take the stuffing or the plugging up of the top. V'amayim yotzin b'nekovim tif achar tif. And now, because of the water pressure is changing, you're allowed to go and have the water will, in fact, come out slowly, drop by drop, through the very small holes at the bottom. V'nosin kli mateches v'kofeyu tachtav. And then you put a metal utensil underneath this, which will collect the drops of water, and each drop that comes down, v'kola nishma l'chola, that will make a sound which will be beneficial to the sick person. So you're only allowed to do this, the Braisa tells us, l'chola, in. For a sick person, you can make these sounds on Shabbos, l'bari lo, but not for a healthy person. So what is the scenario of the Braisa? Hechidomi, Abaye says, what exactly is the Braisa talking about? Isn't it talking about lav dinim? Isn't it talking about that this sick person is sleeping? Because boy, the lissar, and you want to wake him up. Yet, you're allowed to only do this for a sick person. You wouldn't be allowed to do this for a healthy person, meaning that you're not allowed to make a plain sound. This isn't a musical sound. This isn't an instrumental sound. Yet, you're making a sound, and you're not allowed to do this for a healthy person. So, Ula was correct when he said, how did this person knock on the door? He's making a sound. He's a healthy person. It wasn't a pikuach nefashos or a sick situation. He needed a doctor. So therefore, how could he make a sound on the door by banging on it? You're not allowed to go and make the sound of the drip, drip, drip into the metal utensil for a healthy person. Shma mina, olude kolo osir, to make sounds on Shabbos, even if they're not musical sounds, it is osir. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. That's not the case over here. When Rabbah said that you're not allowed to go and make a musical sound, but you are allowed to make a regular sound, it's also el kol shel shir, that would include this over here as well. Why is that? The seer, the karboi, the lenim. Here we're talking about that the person was awake and we're trying to put him to sleep. So that's why this is a musical sound. This tiff, 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 this dripping down into the bucket is in fact a low, slight musical sound. That's why you're only allowed to do this for the sick person. Dimishtama ki kola dizamzume. This is like the sound, Rashi says, zamzume, or tzinbash, which he always translates as like something like a cymbals or a musical instrument. In other words, this is a musical instrument. This tiff, tiff, tiff over here is in fact a musical instrument. And that's why it's only allowed for a sick person and not for a healthy person. But to stomp bang on a door, to stomp make a sound that's not a musical sound, so that there is no problem. That would, in fact, be allowed. Rabbah is saying, I was correct. This brisa that Abaye brings against me is not a steer to me. Abaye tries again. Eisvei, he asks Rabbah again from the following brisa. Hamishamer peroso bnei ofos. If a person is out in the field and he's protecting his fruits so the birds don't eat them, he's a human scarecrow. Or he has his gourds, his vegetables, he's protecting them from animals, that the animals shouldn't come. So he stays out in the field on Shabbos in order to be mishamer, his fruits or his vegetables. So how is he allowed to be mishamer? Then mishamer kedarka b'Shabbos. He can guard them in the normal way that he would do it on a weekday. He can stand there on Shabbos and do the same things, with some exceptions. The exceptions the Braisa tells us are ubavad. The one thing he can't do is shlo yisapek. Yisapek, we remember from the Gemara in Moed Katan, at the end of Moed Katan, it tells us that you're not allowed to clap your hands in a dirge on a Chol HaMoed or on a Yontif when you're burying somebody. So you're not allowed to go and raise the emotional level. So you're not allowed to clap in certain ways. So you're not allowed to be yisapek in that situation. And that's the word over here too. You're not allowed to clap your hands to shoo away the birds or the animals that are coming to take the fruits or the vegetables. Likewise, you're not allowed to go bang your hands against part of your body, like on your chest, to make a sound. Below your rocket, and likewise, you're not allowed to stamp with your feet, so you're not allowed to go and dance over here to make noise. So you're not allowed to make all these noises in the same way that you do it on a weekday. In other words, these are all making non-musical noises on Shabbos, and that's forbidden. This is the kasha that Abaye says to Rabbah. Now, my time, why aren't you allowed to do this? Isn't it because lav de kamolid kola? Because you're making a sound. Even though it's a non-musical sound, you're not allowed to make a sound. The kola lude kola zosir. Even if it's a non-musical sound. Kasha and Rabbah, who you say you're only not allowed to make musical sounds, but a non-musical sound like banging on the door is not a problem. Here you see that banging your hands together, banging your chest, or just stamping on your feet is not allowed. So kasha and Rabbah. So Murray answers to Rabbah, Amar Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Ravacha Bar Yaakov says, here it's a different reason. Not because of the sound, it's because Eir Shemayitol Tzror. If we let you function in the normal way, if you stomp your feet, if you clap your hands, and you bang on your chest, and it doesn't scare away the birds or the animals, so you know what you're going to do? You're going to pick up a rock and throw it at them. Gezeir Shemayitol Tzror. That you're not allowed to do. That rock's muksa, you're going to throw a Dalet Amos in this Karmelis, or if it's Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, you're not allowed to go and pick up the rock. So the rabbi said, if we allow you to go and stomp your feet and bang on your chest and clap your hands, and that doesn't work, it's too easy for you to go to the next step, which is to throw a rock. So therefore, stop over here and don't do these things. But it has nothing to do with Olude Kola. In fact, if you're not making a musical sound, there is no problem whatsoever. It's only musical sounds that are usur. Again, a kashan rabba. Elohod yom Rav Yehuda Marav, but Rav Yehuda Marav said, Noshim hamisachakos be'egozim osur. Women aren't allowed to play a game like marbles. They would throw these egozim, these walnuts, one against the other, and you're not allowed to play this game on Shabbos. Now, why not? My taima. Isn't it because lab de kamolid kola, when one walnut hits the other walnut, it's going to make a sound, and therefore, b'chol olude kola osur, and making a sound, even though it's not a musical sound, is also on Shabbos. Kash again on Rabbah, who says only musical sounds are usher, but non-musical sounds are mutter. So therefore, this is a kash on Rabbah. Shmuel says, no, Rabbah's correct. There's not a problem over here with making musical sounds. The reason is, as we already mentioned before, when you're playing marbles, when you're playing over here with these walnuts, so you need a smooth playing surface. You don't want a little bump in the ground or a little depression in the ground to move your walnut in a way that it won't hit the other walnut, however the game is played. So therefore, there's a concern that you'll smooth out the ground. That's why you're not allowed to play this game. But it's nothing to do with the making the sounds of one walnut hitting the other. That's olude kol. So that's not why it's usur. It's usur because of Ashri Yigumos, and Rabbah's correct. And I'll prove to you, the Gemara says, that this is the right interpretation. Don't think that we're just making something up over here of Ashri Yigumos, because the Ilo Te Mahachi, if you don't answer this way for the walnuts, then how are you going to understand the next statement? Hod Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said another statement. He said, Noshi Misach goes betapuchim. If women are playing a similar type of game with apples, again, something like marbles, and they're playing it with apples, it's usur. They're not allowed to do that as well. Now, apples, when one apple hits another, it's a thud. There's no sound. There's nothing that is produced. So, hosam, my olude kola ika. There would be no concern, one apple hitting another apple, that you're making a sound. A walnut making a walnut, so it's going to make a knock. It's going to make a sound. So there you could have theoretically said it was making sounds. But with apples hitting apples, That can't be the reason why the rabbis forbade the women to play with these apples, this marble-type game with apples, that it's also. So it has nothing to do with olu dekol. My olu dekol ikah. There is no olu dekol with the apples. Therefore, the reasoning must be, elo, duma osi leshu yegumos. It must be by the apples that it's talking about, that you're worried that they're going to come and smooth out the ground because they want to make sure the apples aren't knocked off their path because of a little mound or a depression. So if that's the case by the apples, that's certainly the case as well by the egozim. And therefore, Rabbah has no problem. Rabbah is correct. Only olu dekol, it's a musical call, is a problem, but olu dekol, that's just making a sound, that's not a musical sound, there is no problem. So Rabbah's fine. We try again. Tanan, our Mishnah. It says, Mimala mibar hagola, umibar hagado. A person is allowed on Shabbos to draw up water with this bagalgal, with this type of a winch. You're allowed to go and draw up the water from these two special be'eros, the be'er hagola and the bar hagado, and you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, that says you're only allowed to do this by Mikdash. Our Mishnah was talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, by Mikdash in, by Medina Lo. But you're not allowed to do this outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why not? My Taima, isn't Lav Mishum Dolu De Kol Ovi Osir? Isn't it because you're not allowed to make sounds, even non-musical sounds, when you're pulling up the bucket with this winch? It's going to make a sound. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this outside the Beis HaMikdash, because you're not allowed to make sounds, even if they're not musical sounds. Kashan Rabba. So Gemara again says, no, Rabba's correct. Lo, the reason why you're not allowed to use this winch is nothing to do with the sound. If it was just the sound, it's not a musical sound, it's just making noise, that would not be the problem. The problem is over here. As I pointed out before, the concern is it's so easy to draw up a lot of water. This winch makes it easy. So instead of just taking, you know, the 4 ounces that you need for a drink of water, you're going to say, hey, why should I waste my efforts over here? It's I can pull up 4 quarts with the same effort that I'm pulling up 4 ounces. So I'll have the extra water up here and I'll pour it out on my field. And I'll forget that it's Shabbos, and Gzeira Shemimala Liginosul Chubasso, that a person is going to go take extra water over here to pour out for his garden or for the Churba. Churba is a destroyed area where Mastama, there would be some sort of vegetables planted. So in this situation, we are not allowing you to do this. As Tosus points out, my first Reino Tam, the Dafka Bil Galgalim Gedolim, it's these big winches over here, Shemimala and Harbi Mayim Biachad, it's very, very easy to pull up a lot of water. So Shayach Lemigzor, there they made Gzeira. Avo shalonu ketanim, but to take a little bucket from a well, which is a small amount, you can't go water your field with that small amount. Logos rein, and the rabbis never made exera in that situation. So you'd be allowed to go take a well that has like the string attached to the bucket and turn the knob to go and bring up the water from the well, and a regular small well, that would be allowed. So again, no kashi on rabbi, this has nothing to do with olu dekol. A Meimer allowed the people to go and use this type of a winch, to use this galgal in his city of Mechuzah, even though we had said, that the rabbi said to Zegzera not to do this. And he said, why did the rabbis make the Zegzera? A Meimer said, Omar, my time goes Rabbanon. What's the reason that the rabbi said, don't fill up the bucket? Isn't it because, Shemo Yamale, Liginoso, Luchobaso? Well, guess what? We don't have either of those two in our city. Shemo Yamale, Liginoso, Luchobaso doesn't apply over here. Hacha, Logina, Ikav, Lohorbika. We don't have gardens over here. We don't have vegetable plots over here. And therefore, nobody's going to go and take extra water and pour it into their garden or pour it into their vegetable plot. And therefore, he permitted them to do this. But as many of the time we see from the Gzeres of Chazal, there's tremendous wisdom behind it. And Kivon, the Kohazah, the Kar, we turn to the other days, the Kar Taru, he saw, however, that the people were starting to take the extra water, and Taru bought Kisna, and they soaked their flax. We turn to the Omid Beis, the top of Kuf Dalit Omid Beis, that they would soak their flax. That's the Girsa that we have. Rashi says there's another Girsa that says Bunasa, which means Kusman. They would soak their spelt. Whatever it was, they used this extra water, this excess water, for things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So Amemer said, I made a mistake. Osalu said, the rabbis were very smart. This gezera wasn't just Shemu Yamale Liginosu Chorvaso. It's you'll use this extra water. It's so easy to bring up this extra water for some prohibited activity. And therefore, the gezera was smart, and he asked the people in his town to use the galgal in their well. Now we quote the Mishnah, and it said, you're allowed to go and take also the special leniency that the rabbi said for this well, that you could do this even on Yontif outside the Mikdash. Umibe'er hakir. You're allowed to go and take the well from this barakir. What exactly is my barakir, the Gemara asks. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us it's a bore, it's a well, it's a pit. Shehikru alea devarim vihitirua. It was a pit where they said many things. Rashi explains the lashon of hikru means a lashon of kriya. They said many things by this well. As Rashi points out, this was a place where they would gather, and they had a lot of words over here. It was a place that was ruuyos ledivrehem, sheyesh pem koach la'akor shvus mipnei dochakon. They needed this water from this well very desperately. They needed water, and therefore they said that we're not going to enact or maintain the rabbinical prohibition against drawing up the water from this well. We need the water, and therefore, since when they returned from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, things were somewhat dire, and they were allowed to go over here and say that the original rabbinical enactments not to do this don't apply under their situation. The Gemara doesn't like this. The Gemara says Meisvei, but that can't be right, because the following brisa says Lo kol haboros hakeros hitiru elazubavad. Not every well where they had gatherings and they said that this shouldn't apply over here was this leniency allowed. It was only on this one specific bor known as the bor be'er hakir. So only this one specifically, the brisa said Lo kol haboros hakoros. Not all the other boros that were known as bor hakir. Akir or these Oros Koros Hitiru Elazubavad was only this one. Now, if you're telling me that it was a special decree that they said that we need water over here and therefore we're not going to have the original rabbinical prohibition apply, the Amashikru Dvar Molel, if you're telling me that it's just meaning a general usage of the word Hikir or Akar for any type of a well, so then Maizubavad, then why would it only be this one Be'er Hakir? It would apply to every Be'er. So that's the wrong understanding. And therefore, El Omer Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Yitzchak explained that this Be'er Hakir that the Mishnah is talking about was a special well. It was Be'er Mayim Chaim. It was a spring. It was a well that had water flowing into it constantly. And therefore, Hakir means over here a source, the Makar. And therefore, Shenemar Ki Hakir Bayir Meimel. It was this spring that caused the water to flow over here, and that's why this was a bear. This beer means a bear, and this was a unique, special situation. And that's why it only applied to this well and not all the other wells. It's not coming from the Lashon of Kriya, which would apply to all the wells where they were gathered there and had a town meeting, but it applied specifically to this one beer, which was a well, and that had a spring underneath it, a makar of flowing water. Gufa. Lo kol haboros hakeros hitiru elazubuvat. We just wrote down the brisa. We said that not all the wells had the special dispensation to be allowed to fill it up with on Yontif. It was only this one. And ukisha'olu b'nei agola, when the people came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Ba'isheni, chonu aleh, they rested over there. They made their encampment, their machane over there. And unavim shebeneim, which was Chagai Zechayim Alachi, these Nevi'im that were with them, Hitiru Lehem. They gave them special permission to go and remove the prohibition, the rabbinical prohibition. And Rashi says, these Nevi'im, Chagai Zechayim Alachi, gave them a special dispensation. However, the Gemara says it really wasn't just a Nevi'im, below Nevi'im Shebeneim, it wasn't Chagai Zechayim Alachi who did this, Ela Minig Avosom B'Yudeim. So Rashi says, but also Bar, they had a Minig, that this was always permitted. So, in other words, they didn't make a special leniency here and remove a rabbinical prohibition. In fact, they just reminded everybody that this was the minhag that they previously had, ba'oso abar, that they were allowed to go and use this well previously, and they continued that tradition of being allowed to use this well that was established beforehand. Now, this is really coming to the last mishnah in the perek, so we'll only go a little bit further today, and we'll have a small share left for tomorrow to finish off the beautiful Masechta of Erevin. So we're in the last Mishnah in this Masechta. And the Mishnah tells us, Sheretz shenimtzu b'mikdash. If Rachmanu Litzlan, you were to find one of the Shmona Shrotzim that are mentioned in Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'eh, have a unique status to them, in that when they're dead, not when they're alive, but when they're dead, they have tumas sheretz, as opposed to other types of creatures that when they die, there is no tuma attached to them. So these shmona shrotzim, as they're called, shenimtzu b'mikdash, if you find such a dead sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, so what should you do with it? You obviously want to get it out of there. So kohen motzio b'hem yano. So the first opinion that we have, the Tanakhama, tells us that the kohen should go and take his hem yano, which is his belt, And Rashi explains that we're talking here b'Shabbos, v'lo chayish l'tilton, there's no concern over here of being metaltel, something that's muktzah, because the ain shuos b'mikdash, the whole concept of muktzah is a derabbanon concept, and therefore there is no shuos, there are no derabbanons in general in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he takes it behem yano. What is hem yano? It means bavneto, it means his belt, one of the four begodim that a coin wears. This is avnate. So he takes his belt, v'af agav, the mitame leili avnate, even though he's now going to make the avnate tame, Shu Kadosh, and this is something that was holy, and now you're making it tummy, it is preferable, Hachi Adif, it's preferable that he should take his belt and make the belt tummy. Now he doesn't become tummy by touching the belt that becomes tummy, because we have a rule that Adam and Kalim can only be metame from an avatuma. Now the Sheretz is an avatuma. If a person or utensils, such as the Avnate, touch the avatuma, they become tummy. But that item then becomes a Rishon L'tumah, and a Rishon cannot make Adam and Kalim into a Sheni. Only an Avatumah can be Metami Adam and Kalim. A Rishon, by Ochlin Umashkim, can make it into a Sheni. So if this was a piece of bread that was a Rishon, and it touches another piece of bread, so it turns the other piece of bread into a Sheni. So by Ochlin Umashkim, you can transfer from a Vlad HaTumah, from a Rishon to a Sheni, to a Shlishi, to a Reviv, by Paraduma. So by foods and drinks, it can transfer down, but only Adam and Kalim can be Metame from an Avatumah. So in this situation, you take the belt will become a Rishon, but when you touch the belt, you don't become a Sheni, because Adam and Kalim don't become Tame from a Vlad HaTumah, from a Rishon, and therefore, the belt, it's preferable that it becomes Tame. You're making this intentionally Tame, Kidei Shalol Lishos Es HaTumah B'Azorah, in order that there shouldn't be any Tumah in the Azorah for any longer than necessary. And then, rather to do it this way with the hemyana, with your belt, which is right there because you're wearing it, instead of v'lachzor achar tseves shel eitz, instead of looking for a wooden type of a tongue, which is not makabel tuma, and therefore you'd be removing the sheretz without being metami anything else. But you have to find such a wooden tongue. So the Tanakam of a Mishnah says that this tseves shel eitz, which is a pshute kli eitz, and therefore is eino makabelis tuma. However, it's preferable for you to go and take your belt and immediately remove the tumah, rather than to go look around and delay till you find this tzevish leitz to remove the tumah. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, we continue a little bit later in the Rashi, Hilkoch, behem yano, ochazo, delonoga bay, hold on to the sheretz with your belt so you never touch the sheretz. The sheretz yano matame b'masa, and by the way, you might have thought that when you're carrying the sheretz, that's matame. No, sheretz is only matame b'mago, by actually touching the sheretz, but not by carrying the sheretz. Therefore, va'avneid shemetame b'sheretz in metame yakoin. Ha'ochazo, as I pointed out, the avnate will not make you tame because it's a rishon. The havalei avnate rishon l'tumah. Va'alocha revachas here. General rule is b'chol hashas shein adam v'kelim v'kabim tumah elam yava tumah b'vad. And therefore, you're not going to become tame. You have this immediately available. You remove the sheretz. Is not touching the sheretz. You're only carrying the sheretz. There's no tumas maga over here. There is no. You're not touching the sheretz, and therefore there is no tumah of touching the sheretz. There is no concept by carrying a sheretz of being metameh, and therefore, in this situation, you are removing the tumah as fast as possible, albeit at the expense of making the hemyone your avnate tameh. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Kohen motzio behemyano shelo l'shal says a tumah that you shouldn't have the tumah in the azara for 1 second more than it's necessary. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Divrei Rav Yochanan ben Brocha. However, Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda omer, b'tzeves shaleitz. No, go search out this tzeves shaleitz, these tongs that are pshute kliyetz, as Rashi said, that are therefore not makabel tumah. So you're not increasing any tumah over here, and there is a preference that you not add tumah to the world, and therefore, shalol rabos is a tumah, and therefore, so the sheretz will stay there for an extra 2 minutes till you find such a pair of non-tumah accepting tongs, these pshute kliyetz tongs, and then you'll remove the sheretz. Again, there's no problem of you carrying the sheretz, you're not touching the sheretz, so there's no tumas maga, and there is no concept of tumas masa in carrying a sheretz, and this way, you've accomplished the same thing as the first opinion, Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, but without being metami something. And therefore, that's preferable, according to Rabbi Yehuda, albeit it caused the delay in removing the sheretz. So the machlokus is, which is better? Is a delay better, but the sheretz won't be metami anything else? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Or no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says, even though you're going to be metame hemyone, the abnate, it's preferable to get the tumah out of there as fast as possible. That's what the first part of the Mishnah tells us. Now we're going to the next part of the Mishnah. Mehechen motzino so. Where, if you find the sheretz, should you do this on Shabbos to go and remove it, as opposed to just leaving it there? So it has to be from a place you're not allowed to have tumah. So the Tanakhama says, minahechel, any place in the actual binyan of the Beis HaMikdosh itself, the actual hechel, umina ulam, that's from the vestibule, the what we call the antechamber, to the hechel. That's a wider area that was in front of the hechel, but it was part of the binyan, part of the structure of the actual Beis HaMikdosh proper. Umibein ha'ulam l'mizbeach, and in between the mizbeach and the ulam, there is a space known as min ha'ulam l'mizbeach. That's a higher level kedusha space there. Only kohanim are allowed to enter there under normal circumstances. So if you find the sheretz in that area, you have to remove it as well. But only from those areas. If you find it from the mizbeach further outwards towards the gates to the azara, you wouldn't be able to remove it in the fashion that we describe on Shabbos. This is the opinion of Tanakama, Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Kol makum shechayav mazdon ukaris. If a person were to intentionally go in there while he was tame, and he would get kares for being in that area, which would include the entire azara. So kol makum shechayav mazdon ukaris. I should go so chatas. And if you did this by accident, you'd have to bring korban chatas for tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. So then mishah motzi amasov. If you find the sheretz in any of those places, so then you have to go and remove this sheretz from there, even on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah continues and says, if it's not one of the places, even according to Rabbi Kiva, where you get kares, so then ushar kol amakomos, as Rashi says, lamar kidisle, kumar kidisle, according to Benanas, this would mean the rest of the Azara, and according to Rabbi Kiva, it means the lishkos, all the other places outside of the Azara. So there, if you find the sheretz in any of those places, according to each shita, so then, kofin lo psachter, you're not allowed to move it, because it's muktzah on Shabbos, and even though we normally say ein shvus b'mikdash, since there's no reason to go and remove it because you're not over any transgression, you're not chayiv in this situation for having the sheretz over there. So therefore, the rabbi said, just put a utensil on top of it, put a pot over it, and it will accomplish the same thing, that nobody will touch it. So therefore, in this situation, shar kol makom was kovel lo psach there. That's what you have to do. Rabbi Shimon finally concludes the mission. He says, mokum shetiru loch. That which the rabbi said you're allowed to do something over here, they said you're allowed to do this. They're giving back to you what you already rightly had. They're giving back to you what was yours. And they're letting you go and not have this shvus, this rabbinical prohibition, which midaraisa you didn't have. So the Gemara will explain exactly what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. So we'll save the rest of the shiur over here. We did the Mishnah today. Maybe we'll chazer it over real quickly tomorrow because there's some new concepts over here. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have the pleasure of finishing off this beautiful Masechta tomorrow. Give me a chance to also tell people that I will be giving actually a live shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere on Sunday night for the Haskalah, on November 22nd, Sunday night, for the Haskalah of Maseches Pesachim. Pesachim technically starts on Monday the 23rd. For those that wish to see and go to a live shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere, it will be at 8 o'clock Sunday night, this coming Sunday night. For those that aren't in the area but would like to see a live shiur, I will be giving it also via Zoom. That Zoom channel is 980-324-36809, and the password is summer2020. And if you want to call in by phone, you can just do it by phone, just here, 929-205-6099. If anybody wants to get the actual flyer, they just click on it. So then please just send me an email, agladmd@gmail.com. Everybody should have a wonderful day. Kol Tov.